Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Not long ago, I had an opportunity to teach one of the Sunday school classes at our church, and the topic the Lord laid on my heart was regarding the will, and basically, or most specifically, putting our will in front of the Lord's will, and how we tend to think we know better than the Lord on how to handle different situations in life. Yeah, sure, we as Christians talk about trusting in the Lord, and we talk about relying on his wisdom. But at the end of the day, a lot of times we just give the Lord lip service. And then in our actions, we actually act upon who we really trust, and that's ourselves. And what I did in that Sunday school lesson was try to show example after example of how that's just utter stupidity. And I wanted to apply that today to the career decision. See, a lot of times when it comes to career callings, yeah, a lot of times we don't really know what the Lord wants us to do, and we embark on a mission to research what the Lord wants us to do. But a lot of times we get pretty deep into that research project, and it's pretty obvious what the Lord wants us to do, but we're not really ready to accept it. We don't really want to do what he wants us to do, so therefore we kind of keep questioning, is this really your will for me, Lord? Is this really your will for me? And what I want to do with this program today is play you some excerpts from that Sunday school lesson so that you can kind of hear from a biblical perspective different ways that different people have tried to outsmart the Lord and the consequences they suffered. So I'll play some clips from the program, from the Sunday school lesson rather. There'll be some lengthy clips, and then I'll make some comments as the show goes on. So I hope you find this program edifying and challenging as you seek out and pursue God's career calling in your life. Here we go. And what I want to do this morning is share with you several of the things the Lord has shared with me through the Word of God about all different kinds of spankings he's had to give people in the Bible. And it's my hope that as I go through this and show you time and time again how doing it our way is not good, doing it God's way is the right way. And we see how so many people have gotten spanked by making the same mistake that Theo made, that maybe you and I will be a little bit less prone to be pigheaded and stubborn and more prone to do things God's way. If you're taking notes today and you want a title for the message is Christian Brain Damage, all right? Which boils down to my way's better than God's way, and I'm going to prove it, which is just totally insane. So let's do that and go through some things today and find out what the Lord has to tell us in his word about what to do and what not to do regarding his will. So let's start with some examples of Christian brain damage. And I had you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 42, which is where we will start today. Jeremiah chapter 42. And we're going to read a lot of scripture in this passage and a lot as the morning goes on to kind of prove the point here to help us understand how smart it is to do things God's way and not our way. Starting in verses 1, we'll read 1 through 6 to begin with, just to kind of set up the scene here. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaniah, whatever that word is, you know what it is, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us.
that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. And then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you, and behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we will send thee, that it may be well, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So to set the scene up here, what we have here is a remnant of Judah. Babylonians have already conquered Israel. And now we have a remnant here who's trying to figure out what their next step is. And they go to the prophet Jeremiah, the authority of the day, the spiritual leader of the day in the country, and say, hey, basically, we need you to tell us what we need to do. Go to the Lord and find out what the Lord wants us to do. We are humble. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do. We're just looking for some direction. Whatever you come back and tell us, we will do. That's what verses 1 through 6 says. Now scoot down to verses 10 through 17. Let's look at that. This is Jeremiah coming back to the remnant and telling them what the Lord said. If you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you, to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy unto you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring unto them. So this section of Jeremiah 42 says, hey, here's what the Lord said. Stay in Judah. If you do, I'm going to make Nebuchadnezzar merciful. Life will be good. Don't go to Egypt. If you do, everything you're trying to escape by leaving Judah, famine, pestilence, it's going to follow you to Egypt if you go to Egypt. Now, why do you think the Lord gave both of those admonitions? Stay here, but don't go to Egypt. Why did he do that? Because the Lord already knew what the remnant in Judah was thinking. Let's look at verses 18 through 20. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt. See, the Lord already knew they planned on going to Egypt all along. And you shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts. You planned in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do. You had a remnant in Judah who was going to Jeremiah saying, we're humble. We're looking for direction. We want you to tell us what the Lord wants us to do, and no matter what he says, we will do. But did they really mean that? They already had planned, as verses 10 through 20 tell us, they had already planned to go to Egypt. What they were looking now in this prayer or this conversation with Jeremiah and the Lord was to get the Lord to bless their plans. And the Lord already knew that they had plans of their own. And that's why he said, you better not do that, because if you do, I'm going to come follow you and bring everything upon you you're trying to escape. So now, confronted by the Lord's prophet, having been exposed what their plans were, what do you think? Okay, well, we were hoping to go to Egypt, but oh, we won't do it, and we get it. We'll just stay put and do what we're supposed to do. Is that what happened? No. Turn over to chapter 43. Chapter 43, read the first two verses and then verse 7. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Now skip down to verse 7. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tapanhes, if that's how you say that. Why did I go through that lengthy reading there? I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life where I had plans of my own, but I wanted some encouragement that I was on the right path, so I would pray and say, hey, Lord, show me your will. I'll be glad to do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then he shows me, and it doesn't match up with my plans. So I begin to ask, well, is that really the Lord's will? That's probably not the Lord's will. Let me pray about it a little bit more. He's still telling me this. That can't be right. Let me pray a little bit, just a little bit more. Oh, okay, well, how about I just go ahead and take a baby step in the direction I already plan on going, just to see how things go. And then the spankings start to come. You know, I'm guessing as I'm seeing a lot of hands, heads doing this, and a lot of smiles on people's faces, I'm not the only one guilty of that. It's still my dad's fault. I mean, you know, just because I did it didn't mean it's my fault. It's my dad's fault. But nonetheless, yeah. If we see that in the Bible and we see that in our own lives, why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep being Theo? Why do we keep thinking our way is better than the Lord's way? Why do we keep suffering from Christian brain damage? Hopefully, this story will be one of many we'll cover in the next few minutes that will help us to see, you know what? It's time to start thinking, time to stop thinking that we know better than the Lord. Not just with our words, which we all do. Oh, yeah, so I want to find the Lord's will. I want to do what the Lord's will. We all say it. But so oftentimes we come and follow it up with actions in total contrast to what we're saying. When are we going to stop just saying it and start actually submitting to the Lord's will?
Are you suffering from some confusion right now about what the Lord wants you to do with your career? Any number of reasons why you might be, but one reason you want to consider is maybe you have your own plans and you're just trying to get God to bless your plans rather than truly being willing to submit to His. Remember, if it's a career calling, the calling comes from Him, not from you, not from me. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years. And suddenly, several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work. Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason to roam and do the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world. Not a
lot. Welcome back from the break to segment number 2 of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Today's topic is on the topic of will, putting our will for our career in front of the Lord's will for our career. And in the first segment, we played an excerpt from a Sunday school lesson I taught on the subject not long ago, and now we want to pick up where we left off with another example of the stupidity we all engage in on a regular basis of putting our will in front of God's will. Here's another example of how that's just not too smart.
If I were to give labels to these examples, the first one I just talked about in the book of Jeremiah, I labeled it this way in my notes. Example of Christian brain damage number 1. Lord, I know the path to safety is better than you. I know the path to safety better than you do. That would have been how I would have labeled it. I know the path to safety better than you do. This one I would label, Lord, I know the path to wealth better than you do. Lord, I know the path to wealth better than you do. And if you look in Haggai, we'll just look at 2 verses here. Actually, I'll read the first 9 verses, actually. So let's do that. The first 9 verses of Haggai to kind of set the stage. In the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house, meaning the Lord's house, lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, meaning the Lord's house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. look, I'm not here. I want to just say this on the front end. There are any number of reasons why someone might be struggling financially. But one way we oftentimes don't acknowledge is what we just read. Maybe you're doing everything right, it seems, to be doing well financially, but underlying every effort you're making is to build your own house first and God's house second. Doesn't Jesus tell us in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, actually I'll just quote verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In this passage in Haggai, that's not what the Israelites were doing. They weren't seeking to build God's house first. They were seeking to build their house first. They were doing the reverse of what Jesus said. And as a result of that, God Himself was actively putting holes in their money bags, actively suppressing the fruit that they were hoping to harvest from all their financial efforts. And so sometimes, I can't say all the time, but sometimes if we're struggling financially, it's because of that wrong direction of how we're organizing our priorities. Now, to give you a modern-day example of this from someone who I think is a Christian, I can't say for sure because I heard this story on a non-Christian business podcast I listen to called Entrepreneur on Fire. EO Fire's been around for about 4 years now. It's a daily entrepreneurial podcast with over almost 1,700 episodes now. Episode 1616, which was a couple, 3 weeks ago, I guess, the guest was a fellow named Paul Moore, and everything he said made me think he was a Christian, but he never said that specifically. But even so, even if he's not, what he shared is proof of this biblical truth. Paul Moore has an MBA, was a two-time finalist for the Michigan Entrepreneur of the Year Award. He's flipped 80 properties, appeared on HGTV, developed a waterfront subdivision, a Hyatt hotel, and a multifamily apartment real estate investment fund. He's also the author of the book, The Perfect Investment, Create Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift to Multifamily Housing. In the year 2007, as the world starts falling apart financially, his world fell apart as well. He went from having about $2 million of extra cash in the bank to having $2.5 million in debt. He had a business partner who bailed on him at this point because the business partner said, I can't help you carry these interest payments on this loan anymore. And so he bailed on him. So now not only is Paul struggling, he's now struggling alone, no longer has the help he once had in the business. So he's sitting there trying to figure out what he's supposed to do, and he's praying. He talked about praying, and when he was praying and thinking about things that one morning, meditating in the Lord's Word, I assume, he said he had this thought come to mind. He said, WWGMD, not WWJD, WWGMD. I'm like, what's that mean? He said, what would George Mueller do? All right, now, many of you know that name, George Mueller. Maybe some don't. So let me just kind of quickly tell you who George Mueller was. George Mueller was a Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. And during his roughly 6 or 7 decades running orphanages, he cared for over 10,000 orphans in his life. One thing I didn't know, I knew about that. One thing I didn't know as I read up a little bit about him is that he also established 117 schools, which offered Christian education to over 120,000 children, many of them being orphans. His fundraising strategy was quite unique, as many of you know, many of you don't, or some of you may not, but here it is. He would not tell anybody what he needed. He would give of himself and simply pray to the Lord to please supply his needs. Over a roughly 70-year career taking care of orphans and starting schools, it's estimated, I've seen different estimates, but the range is that he raised through prayer somewhere between $100 and $200 million in today's monies. One story that some of us are somewhat familiar with, I know I am, Stephanie is, I guess it was in the last year, our Christian school had a play about George Mueller. And this story I'm about to relate actually was in that play. One morning he and folks there at the orphanage and staff at the orphanage sat down for breakfast and didn't have anything, nothing to eat. They just sat down, got ready, prayed for breakfast, and no sooner had they finished praying that there was a knock on the door. And when they opened the door, it was the driver of a bread truck. Just so happened, coincidentally, that the bread truck broke down right in front of the orphanage. And so there was plenty of bread on that truck to supply everybody in the orphanage with bread for breakfast that morning. And it just so happened right after that, there was another knock on the door where a local milk truck driver brought a bunch of milk around, just enough to feed the orphans that morning for breakfast. So that was George Mueller's strategy for fundraising for the work God had called him to do. So Paul Moore starts to think, okay, how should I do this? What should I do? Well, what would George Mueller do? George Mueller would just give and give and give and pray and pray and pray. So that's what Paul and his wife decided to do. We're going to start giving to charitable causes that we believe in. He didn't say on the podcast, I'm assuming those were Christian. Don't know they were, but I think they were. Nonetheless, he started giving, giving, giving as if he still had money in the bank, like he used to. 13 months later, he was completely debt free. Not only $2.5 million of business debt gone, he even had enough money to pay off his house. So he was truly, totally debt free 13 months later, simply by doing things God's way, seeking God's kingdom first, his kingdom second. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 reads this way, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. But there's, or and, there is that withholdeth, keeps it to himself, more than is meet, and tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So my question to you, my question to me, in this second example of thinking we know better than God, are we scattering the times, gifts, and treasure God has given us towards the furtherance of his kingdom first? Or are we holding on to it for our kingdoms only to have it slip through our fingers as we try to build our houses first?
Are you struggling to find or pursue God's career calling in your life? If so, maybe it's because you're really seeking your kingdom first rather than God's. That's a matter for you to work out with the Lord, but take a hard look at Haggai and see if you're trying to build your house before you're building the house God told you to build. And that may be a clue as to why you might be struggling. Let's wrap up today's show with this final thought from my Sunday school lesson.
Whenever there's confusion in our lives, is God the one who's causing that? No. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not or does not bring a spirit of confusion. And in contrast to that, John 7:17 says this, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, to read that from one of my study tools that you've heard me talk about before, the Amplified Bible, renders that same verse this way. If any man desires to do his will or God's pleasure, he will know, he will have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking from myself and of my own accord and of my own authority. God has said in his word, he does not confuse people. God said in his word, if you're really seeking to do his will, he's going to show you exactly what it is. So when there's a point of confusion, guess where the confusion comes in? We're not willing to accept the will just yet. And so we're going to manufacture an alternative course that will also bring glory to God, but maybe not quite as much because it won't cost us as much. We won't have to face the fear of man quite so much. We won't have to give up so much if we can do it our way and convince the Lord to allow us to do it our way. What is that called? Christian brain damage. Thinking we know better than God knows. May God help us to understand he makes his will clear when we're willing to accept it. And if we don't accept it, we're going to get spanked.
Well, I hope you have been blessed by today's program. And what I want to do is make this program not only available at careercallings.net/radio like it always is, I also want to make available the entire 40-minute long Sunday school lesson audio. Not only would you be able to get the examples I share today on the radio program, but also other examples of us putting our will in front of God's in the Bible, and also examples of how to get it right, how to actually ask for and get God's will, particularly examples from the life of King David. So come on over to careercallings.net/radio to get a copy of today's broadcast and access to the entire Sunday school lesson from which I gather these examples today. As I say each week, remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And like I said in earlier today's lesson, if you don't seek God's kingdom first, prepare for a spanking from the Lord. God bless.
To learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.